some members of the public, I guess? I mean, you don't have to say specifically, but I'm just wondering who's participating via Zoom.
Yeah, let's see, we have 7 members of the public.
Okay, great, thanks.
So height and setback defined, again, current code is a maximum height of 35 feet for the roof, 52.5 feet for architectural elements. With the proposed code, the maximum height for the roof would remain at 35, so that previous slide was wrong. That's been better defined. But the maximum height of architectural elements is based on the setback. And so, for example, a clock tower height of 70 feet, the setback would need to be 25.5 feet. So you have your normal 10-foot front setback, and then you'd have to add the 15.5 feet, which is the difference between the 52.5 feet to the 70 feet. So 52.5 plus 17 equals 70 feet to get to your maximum height of your tower. If the tower were to be 75 feet, then you'd have to add another 5 feet to this, so that would be 30.5 feet. So that's how the height would work. So it's a 1-for-1 additional foot of setback for each additional foot of height of the structure. Are there any questions on that?
So you roof is at 35 feet, and you can have 35 feet of additional tower on top.
You could with a greater setback.
Yeah, but you're the full height of the building, max height.
Okay.
And there are some drawings that show that tower that we've seen in the past, and we'll see those again. Regarding parking, there are really kind of 3 options that we've looked at. Option number 1 was shared parking and access with the Millstream Properties. They own the parking to the east and to the south. But as we heard in our last public hearing, that Millstream doesn't support that option. Option number 2, all parking on the Performing Arts Center property was shared access with Millstream Properties. So there's access that happens from Main Street into the properties. Currently, Millstream has an access directly off Main Street. The idea is to share that, but it sounded like, at least from what I understood in the last public hearing, that there wasn't a lot of support for that for Millstream Properties either. So that would leave the Performing Arts Center creating their own access, and we would need to see how that is set up, and UDOT would also, because they would need to approve the access. The drawings that we've seen show the 2 accesses next to each other for Millstream and the Performing Arts Center, which does create some safety issues, in our opinion. And so that could be reversed to where that access is on the west side of the Performing Arts Center. And that would probably create a safer situation. Again, UDOT would need to review it, and the city would have to review it to make sure we do have the proper clearance that we need between access points. So it looks like that issue could be resolved. In this option number 2, all parking would be on the Performing Arts Center property. So that would require some under-building parking for that to work. There's not enough surface area for all the parking to happen on-site. Option number 3 is to have parking on-site, so on the Performing Arts Center property, and then 60 shared stalls with Old Swiss Square. Off-site parking would need to be approved by the city council, so that's something that would need to be looked at closely. Is that parking close enough for it to work reasonably for people to walk from that parking lot? It is a bit of a distance. We do have the owner of Old Swiss Square here tonight, and I know there's been a signed agreement for that. Again, that agreement would need to be approved by the city council for that to be valid for us to accept that as required parking. But they have worked quite a bit on that agreement, and we do have a copy of that. So traffic impacts to be more relevant to this project. So we have received information from the applicant. There is a traffic study for the village. This is a project that's located on 28 acres just south of Memorial Hill. Originally, a theater was looked at being located on that site. There was this traffic study done. That gives kind of an overall impact of that development. But from reviewing this study, it didn't directly state that there was a Performing Arts Center in that analysis. So we'll need to be corrected if wrong, but Wes and I took a look at it, and that's what we saw, that it didn't specifically address a Performing Arts Center. Art Center that study, and that study wasn't site specific to this current proposal. It's close by, but it's not site specific. The study does include traffic counts for surrounding areas, so that is helpful to give us a general idea of the impact of traffic in that area. We also had another study that was submitted, which is really a trip generation and distribution. So it shows how many trips will be generated and where they're coming from. And so that is helpful because it is site specific, and it does give us some information on trip generation. And this is a copy of that second study. We can go through this in detail if we need to. It was included in the staff report, and it's on our website right now. But basically, it shows where the number of trips that will be generated and where they'll come from. This, for instance, shows that 40% from the river road from the north end, 35% from the south side from State Route 113, 15% from the Heber side, and 10% coming in from the north. So it gives you an idea of where those trips are coming from, what roads they'll take to access the Performing Arts Center. So some more information that's been included in this specific to this site. The next item in the motion was understanding the funding and timelines. The applicant has supplied more information on the proposed timeline. The main worry that we would have is that a building isn't completed on Main Street. We've seen that happen in other cities. So that's a concern. We talked about all types of ways to address that, including, for instance, bonding. The applicant has stated that construction will not begin until all the required funds are committed. This is helpful to us, but there could still be some flaws in that scenario, especially if committed funds are never paid, leaving a gap in completing the building. So things to consider. And then extend the street level rendering to include more of the view of Main Street and current businesses. And so the applicant has provided some drawings that visually show what that impact would be of the Performing Arts Center on Main Street. So that was giving you a reminder of what we talked about last time and talking about those five items that were specific to the motion for the last Planning Commission meeting. We do have a presentation from the applicant. And so I don't know where Stu ended up.
Hey, Michael, I'm going to take it.
Okay, perfect.
So if you're ready, you just tell me and I'll...
Okay, so, with you, Chairman.
First, let me just ask the planning commissioners, do you have any questions on Michael's presentation they want clarification on, or are we ready to go into the presentation?
I have a question.
Sure.
When you showed the back a couple slides, guessing where the traffic right there, what data is used to, I mean, if you haven't sold tickets, how do you know where people are coming from? I don't get it.
I think we have a representative from Hell's Engineering
yes.
here tonight.
Yeah. So we look at existing traffic patterns.
We have it on Zoom, and we will need your name for the just for record.
Yeah. Thank
you. All right. My name is Joseph Browning. I'm with Hell's Engineering. To answer your question, how we estimate. Traffic patterns where traffic's going to come from. We look at existing traffic. So, like you said, we've done studies here in Midway before. We counted the River Road and Main Street intersection about a year ago. And so, again, this is just an estimate, but that's kind of how we do it. We look at existing counts and then try to determine maybe where traffic is going to come from based on the metropolitan areas and stuff like that. So
it's a guess.
It is an estimate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions before we? Okay. Let's have the applicant, the applicant's representative.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jeff Strong. I live at 12333 Lone Hawk Lane, which if you don't know where that is, it's down by Soldier Hollow. I'm going to be leading the discussion tonight with the help of a number of different folks. First of all, I want to thank Michael. Michael, as you did last time, you did an excellent job laying out the issues and providing the information, so we appreciate that. This is only my second Planning Commission meeting, and one of the things I've learned is the work you do is really important. trying to do our best to make your job as simple as we can. Why don't we go to the next slide? Next slide. Michael did a great job of kind of laying out the issues. I'm going to do an executive summary here that'll kind of frame the whole thing briefly and hopefully give you a roadmap that you can follow for the rest of the discussion. And then I'll turn time over to individual members to cover different pieces. So what we're going to talk about today is parking, traffic, funding, the clock tower, and the construction schedule. Parking, as Michael said, we really have two options now because the Millstream option is off the table. Both comply with Midway Parking's ordinance for spaces. The one we think makes the most sense is the shared parking arrangement with Old Swiss Square, and Bill Fairbanks is here, so if you have questions about the nature of that agreement, Bill's here to respond to your questions. The second option is the one where we do all the spaces on site, which is, as Michael mentioned, would require that we put about 60 spaces underneath the facility. Barry Kent is going to talk more about this in a minute. Traffic, again, Michael did an excellent job of summarizing what we have at this point. The available studies have been provided. Joseph is here if you have more questions. He's deeply immersed in those studies. You know, the preliminary findings, although not yet complete, I would acknowledge that, combined with years of High Valley Arts experience and the fact that performances will all be at off-peak hours, would suggest that traffic congestion should be minimal. But additional studies may be needed, and we're prepared to do those as needed. Fundraising, Michael mentioned that construction won't begin until all funds are committed in writing and legally bonding. Matt Waldrop, who is the lead fundraiser on a fundraising team that we have, is here tonight to address specific questions. The team has deep experience in raising this kind of money for these types of facilities and even larger and more significant things. Funding will also include contributions from local residents that are passionate about this and want to contribute. Tower height, we are requesting the tower height exception. You know, it's interesting, this was probably the most spirited part of the discussion last week, and I left after that meeting, and I decided to really evaluate the issue for my own satisfaction. And so we conducted a photo study, and what's obvious from that study is the tower itself doesn't obstruct views of Tim. It does significantly beautify the facility. What it also, the photo study also made clear is if the intent of the height restriction in the zoning is to protect views of Tim, it doesn't really work because it, you know, there's only one building that I could identify on Main Street that doesn't obstruct views of Tim from the street or from the south sidewalk. And so if you don't have a good feel for that, or if you found the photo study that we provided inadequate in any way, just walk up and down the street, you'll immediately get a feel for it. I'll buy ice cream if anybody wants to go tonight. The construction schedule, a preliminary critical path schedule for the project's been provided. Obviously, a much more detailed world-class construction plan has to be completed and provided prior to groundbreaking. So that's really the overview. I'm going to turn the time over to Barry now to talk more.
Good evening, my name is Barry Kent. I live at 1420 South, 1420 South 200 West, Midway. Let's talk about parking. So it was a key takeaway from the last meeting. We want to address this. Midway's growing, and so as we have different activities, we need to make sure that we accommodate this. Now, as Jeff mentioned, this is a key point. High Valley Arts has been doing performances for 14 years. This is not new. We do all of this at off hours, and so the fact that balance will make things a little bit easier. So next slide, please. So we have done a survey of all the major theater locations across Utah, and by far, the majority ratio is 1-4. Every one car is projected to have four riders in it. Actually, there's a facility in Centerville and Cedar City where it's a little bit larger than that, but I think this is a key takeaway that this is the pattern or model that many others are using. Next slide, please. So option one, this is the one that we prefer. As we've mentioned, 500 maximum occupancy. We do not get maximum occupancy on every show, just some of the shows. But those, when we would be at maximum capacity, we would need 125 parking slots. On this model that we're showing here, has 68 spaces on site.